Side honor them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. I in a tie can just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, October the 21st, 2025, year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Those of you of goodwill, as we like to say often on this program, we don't wish our enemies well, folks, not when our enemies have sworn themselves to our destruction. This is an important distinction that we have to make, folks, something we've been discussing on several of the recent programs, that, far too often there's this misunderstanding and misapplication of what it means to love thy neighbor and to not hate your enemies and all of the rest of that. And quite honestly, folks, that works in the real world when you're dealing with disagreements over, you know, the difference between six of one and half a dozen of the other, okay, minor disagreements. But when you're dealing with somebody or something that is intent upon destroying you, as indeed we are dealing with, then we have to live in the real world. We have to live in this place known as the hotel reality. And there hasn't been an instance where somebody's life was in danger and turning the other cheek saved their lives or the lives of their loved ones. And that's what we have at stake here, folks. And if you have any questions or doubts about that, just go back and listen to the soundbite at the beginning of the program, where we have this what's brutally honest, I guess is the best way to put it, folks, a brutally honest member of the Hebraic persuasion talking about how dangerous Judaism is to everything and to everyone. And as he describes it, the reason why Judaism is so dangerous is because the Jews as a people, as a force of nature, they are out to destroy everything that they don't view as real or valuable. And what this means, folks, is that we're dealing with a group of people here who do not understand the principle of live and let live. You either do what they say and see things their way, or they're going to kill you. And in many cases, folks, they'll kill you anyway, even when you do see things their way. And to those deluded Christian Zionists, the deranged followers of this very, what else can we call it, folks? This is just an abomination, this marriage, this act of spiritual bestiality between Judaism and Christianity that's produced this thing known as Judeo-Christianity. No creature exists, folks. They're going to find out, folks, all of these people who worship at the feet of the tribe, who bow down before the synagogue of Satan. It reminds me of that scene from that movie years ago, folks, Independence Day, when the aliens have all arrived at Earth, and they've got their spaceships parked over all of the major cities. And there's this one, I think it's in L.A., and up on top of this building, you've got all of these, you've got all of these people up there celebrating, holding up signs, welcome, welcome friends from outer space, you know, take us with you, finally enlightenment has arrived. And, you know, and then the spaceship, you can see underneath it, you know, D-Day, H-Hour has arrived, and it starts to open up, and there's this brilliant, beautiful light. And all of these alien worshipers are looking up at the beautiful white light, and they don't realize until that that big laser beam comes crashing down upon them and just incinerates them, that all of their hopes and affections were completely misplaced. Anyway, folks, we have what hopefully will be a very interesting and informative program lined up for you today. A few housekeeping details I'd like to get out of the way. First of all, I did get an email from somebody who said, I just can't tune into your program anymore. It's just so full of hate, you know, the way that you throw that J word around, you know, willy-nilly, and you refer to them as Terminators and all of this. And folks, just for the record, there's no hate involved in this at all. What do you need, sweetie? Yeah, I'm doing a program. It's okay. What do you need? Okay. Sorry, folks. I had a minor interruption from my beautiful wife. There's no hate involved in this at all, folks. It's all love. It's all love. When you love, when you have somebody that you love, like I love that beautiful woman right there, my beautiful wife, anything that threatens that is an enemy and has to be understood as the enemy for that it is. And you have to fight ferociously when that enemy is intent upon destroying those things and those people that you love, okay? There's never been a soldier of any country that fought in a just and defensive war of his country, protecting his fellow countrymen and his country, who did this out of hatred. He did it out of love. Now, it may have manifested itself in a way that appeared hateful because he was killing the enemy, but this is what a soldier has to do. This is what a protector has to do. And likewise, folks, there are people who would accuse Jesus Christ of engaging in hatred. I mean, how much more salty does it have to get than referring to your enemies as children of their father, the devil, and brood of vipers and things like that? Certainly not what one would consider to be loving terms. So I disagree with that, folks, that this is all about hate on this program. It's not at all. It's all about love. It's all about preserving the good things that we have, the people that we love, the country that we love, countries, our cultures, our civilization. And if that's the terminology that these people choose to use, well, what can we say, folks? They probably don't belong here anyway. Another quick thing I want to address very quickly, folks, is to send out a note of congratulations and thanks to Tucker Carlson for the wonderful documentary he put together on 9/11. It was expertly done. It only took 25 years, folks, for us to get this message out, including his mention of the five dancing Israelis, the five intelligence officers who were across the river in Jersey City, New Jersey, filming the towers and cheering, celebrating the death and destruction that was taking place that day. And he mentioned that they had been sent to document the event. Now, folks, of course, for those of you out there who have been following this for the last quarter century, you know that this is nothing new. He really didn't bring out anything that was particularly earth-shaking in its originality. But, folks, millions and maybe even billions of people now have heard the same message that many of us have been trying to get out there for the last quarter century. From somebody who is considered a quote-unquote respectable member of the media. Now, folks, you'll notice that there was nothing crazy in anything he said if you watch all five of the installments. He didn't say anything crazy. He didn't talk about holograms. He didn't talk about, any of the crazy stuff. In fact, interestingly, one of the things he did say is he talked about how there was a concerted effort to insert conspiracy theories into 9/11 in order to muddy the waters and to make it confusing and toxic. One of which was this idea of energy weapons, I think, by Dr. Judy Wood. So my reason for bringing this up, folks, is that this is why it is so important for us to make sure that we get it right. However big our audience is, if it's 10, if it's 10,000, if it's 10 million, don't go out there and talk crazy. Don't say things that are going to just work to the benefit of our enemy who lives in the darkness, and he has to maintain that state of darkness for everyone around him in order for him to achieve what he's trying to achieve, which is to slit our throats. Okay? It took 25 years, folks, but finally, somebody on the level of Tucker Carlson, and I'm sure, folks, that he is not working alone on this, okay? I'm sure that he has the backing and the help of the President of the United States on this as well, because just listening to some of the information that he covered in this docuseries, he must have had help from the inside in terms of people who had eyes only access to a lot of the intelligence and information. Donald Trump wants that information to get out there, folks. Okay. So this is just something to keep in mind the next time that you run into somebody with one of their silly websites or one of their silly podcasts, and they're talking about how Donald Trump, President Trump, is a tool of the Jews, and that he's a slave of Netanyahu, and he's take your pick, folks. Just keep that in mind, that it is a much bigger and more complicated world than a lot of these types would like us to imagine. Anyway, folks, we have with us today our good friend Stas. We're going to be talking about some very important developments that have transpired since the last time that we were together. We'll be bringing him up here in just a moment. I just want to touch on a few stories, though, in setting the stage for this. Obviously, folks, the big news is that the ceasefire was at least temporarily began to fall apart. What happened, according to the Judaic narrative of it, is that the evil terrorists of Hamas killed two of God's chosen people serving in the IDF. They're accused of firing an anti-tank round or something along those lines, and killed two of the blessed souls of the children of Israel, who I'm sure went straight to heaven. Anyway, folks, those of you who know the way that Israel does things, especially the current terrorist government of Israel, know that this is just this was as unpredictable as New Year's Day falling on January the 1st. There's no way in hell, in heaven or in hell or anything in between, folks, that Benjamin Netanyahu and the rest of these religious terrorists making up his government, that they're going to go along quietly and cooperatively with what the president has decided, which is to bring an end to this World War III and Armageddon. And so, naturally, folks, you know, what Netanyahu needed to take place with regards to the heinous murder of these two blessed souls in the IDF, this was what he needed in order to start lobbing bombs and missiles back into Gaza. Well, folks, obviously, obviously, there's more to this than what we've been told. Now, I took it upon myself, folks, to go ahead and call this a false flag in the beginning, saying that Israel false flagged herself, that whatever happened, it had nothing to do with Hamas breaking the terms of the ceasefire, but rather Israel doing what she does best, which is to lie and engage in violence in order to say if things blow up and work in her favor. Actually, as it turns out, folks, the story appears to be that one of the bulldozers that the IDF was using to move some of the debris around, now that they have just reduced Gaza to nothing but rubble, it ran into a piece of unexploded ordnance, which is, of course, all over Gaza. And that this is what led to the heinous murder and martyrdom of these two blessed souls and the IDF. So, and apparently, folks, Donald Trump personally called Netanyahu and said, "We know what happened. Cease and desist." Okay. This is from, I believe, Ryan Grimm, the journalist. And if I'm getting the name right, I just happened to scroll through it very quickly, folks. So apparently the president called Netanyahu and said, "Cease and desist. We know what happened." Okay. Now, how would they know, folks? Well, because the National Security Agency, of course, monitors everything. Okay, that's one of the blessings and one of the curses of this, is that the United States government, through the NSA, listens to everything, including the radio transmissions taking place between the IDF and headquarters in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv 24 hours a day. And I'm sure that what happened is that the IDF called in and said, "We just had a piece of unexploded ordnance go off. It killed two guys, blah, blah, blah." Netanyahu had what he needed in order to claim that Hamas did this, and then use this as the excuse to begin lobbing missiles and bombs back into Gaza and killing the Gentiles there. Well, folks, again, as we say often on this program, if what we're being told is true by all of these experts out there on their websites and their podcasts and all of the rest of that, that Donald Trump is owned by the Jews and he's a tool of Netanyahu, he's a slave to Miriam Adelson, then why did he call Netanyahu and tell him to cease and desist and to allow the food trucks to get back into Gaza? Stas, this is your question. This is a very puzzling thing. How is this possible that Donald Trump, who's owned by Miriam Adelson, Benjamin Netanyahu, the deceased soul of Sheldon Adelson and all the other powerful Jewish groups, how is this possible that he called up Netanyahu and told him to cease and desist?
That would indeed not be possible if he was a complete pawn of Netanyahu.
Okay.
Not be.
Good answer.
He recently handed the phone to him and told him to apologize to Qatar. I mean, it's ridiculous. He's doing it out, and they're still saying it's a trick. I mean, there's some tricks, and there's a lot of deception, but there are just some baseline things are just reality. And not to mention the fact, I think that if we had Kamala Harris, we would be in complete all-out war now with Iran.
Sure.
And telling her base that sexism and misogyny of Trump is the thing to focus on. And not more.
No. It would be the sexism and misogyny of Iran, and that's why we have to. We have to liberate those poor women and allow them to behave and dress like the liberated women of the West do. Okay, that's a good answer that you gave there, Stas, about the impossibility of Trump being a slave to Netanyahu, and yet the slave giving the slave master orders that the slave master follows. Folks, this I realize that this may be getting old for some of you out there. And were it not for the fact that it's such a prevalent problem out there in the blabosphere, as I refer to it, and if it wasn't causing so much of a problem in getting an accurate consensus out there, we wouldn't address it, okay? But literally, folks, literally, millions of people, millions of otherwise decent people who want to find out the truth about what is going on in the world, okay, they know they can't trust the mainstream media, so they tune into the alternative media. Some of these people with very large audiences, like Judge Napolitano and others, some of them with very modest audiences, okay, and just about everywhere they go, what they run into is this this wall of noise and disinformation saying that Trump is a slave to Netanyahu. And this simply isn't true, folks. The proof of it is out there on a daily basis. Now, does that mean that there aren't confusing situations that pop up? Sure, absolutely. Just today, the president said something to the effect that he knows some people who would be willing to go in and to kill the members of Hamas if Hamas doesn't disarm. And this got everybody into an uproar saying, oh, my God, look at this. He's doing exactly what Netanyahu wants. No, folks, what Netanyahu wants is to be able to go back into Gaza and completely destroy the place and kill as many Palestinians as possible so that the Jews can absorb Gaza into greater Israel. OK, likewise with the president's statement about maybe giving a couple of thousand, I think was what he said, a couple of thousand Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine, to Zelensky, the terrorist Jew Zelensky. Everybody was in an uproar, and they're saying, oh, my God, look at this guy. He's out to start World War III. You know, a few of us, though, folks, said, all right, let's just wait and see what happens. This is classic Donald Trump. Where he says something like this, he throws an informational grenade into the middle of a discussion, gets everybody in an uproar, and then nothing happens. And that's exactly what happened, folks. So the reason that my good friend and I, Stas, bring this up is because every time there is this discussion that takes place out there involving where lots of people are tuning in, and they walk away from this confused. They get the wrong picture of our world as it exists right now. What happens, folks, is that innocent people die. Okay? Wars get bigger. Wars get hotter. They get more violent. The president can only do what he is inclined to do based upon the amount of political support that he has behind him. Okay? So he needs people to be on board his peace train. He needs people to be on board what it is that he intends to do with preventing the incineration of the entire planet. And what is going on right now in Israel, and particularly this contest of the wills between him and Netanyahu principally, but the entire government of Netanyahu behind him as well, you know, this is an epic battle taking place, folks. All right. So when you run into these individuals who tell you that it's all just an act and don't believe it, and Donald Trump is he's out to make Israel great again. No, folks, that's not true. Okay, it doesn't matter what Trump says as much as it matters what he does. Now, on that note, folks, there's a very interesting and very important story that came out this week that unfortunately did not get the kind of coverage that it should have given its apocalyptic significance. And that story deals with the manner in which the government of Benjamin Netanyahu has decided to change the name of the war, the genocide. It's not a war, folks. It's a genocide in Gaza, changing it from Operation Swords of Iron to the War of Redemption. Now, folks, as I said in the Ed notes to this story, this is not a trivial thing. Okay, the fact that it changed from one set of three words to another set of three words. It's not just three words that have been changed here. What Netanyahu has just done in the aftermath of Donald Trump announcing a week or so ago that the 3,000-year catastrophe is over, Netanyahu has basically just said, no, Mr. President, it isn't. Okay. Because of that word redemption, folks, you have to understand what that means within the Jewish lexicon and within the Jewish brain. The word redemption carries with it a very, very specific meaning. And when the Jews talk about the redemption, what they're talking about is making good on all of the promises that they believe they were given thousands of years ago with regards to that land between the Nile and the Euphrates rivers. Whenever you're reading a piece of news or an op-ed or something like that from one of these Jewish websites and they talk about the redemption, they're talking about that future age of Moshiach, of the Jews taking over the entire Middle East. And basically, folks, that piece of land being used as the headquarters for the entire planet. Okay, the headquarters of the New World Order, where, according to the Jewish various Jewish prophets, the Jews will rule the world with a rod of iron, and any nation that does not bow down to them will be utterly destroyed. So when Netanyahu and his people vote to change the name to the War of Redemption, what they're doing, folks, is saying that they are getting ready to set the world on fire. Not just the Middle East, but that those nations that will not bow down before them will be utterly destroyed, just as they constantly talk about in the various prophecies that they have been carrying around in their Torah scrolls now for the last 3,000 years. Unfortunately, folks, this story didn't get really much coverage at all other than on this website here. People don't understand just how big and how bad all of this is. And as you're going to hear from my good friend here in just a moment, much of the reason that they don't take this stuff seriously, folks, and why they're so incautious and sloppy in their analysis about things is because they do not understand how dangerous things are right now. Stas, Netanyahu and the terrorists of Israel have just announced that this is the War of Redemption. What does this mean for the rest of us?
It means the end of the Gentiles as prescribed by the entity that Israel follows.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. When they talk about
their God is different than the Gentile God. And
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Was this in any way, in your opinion, this decision on the part of Netanyahu to change the name, was this in any way related to what Donald Trump has done, especially in the last couple of weeks with bringing an end to all of the Gentile side taking place in Gaza?
Yeah, I mean, trying to look at it from their perspective, they're being very much harmed by a powerful Gentile king that's blocking them from what they're supposed to do.
Not okay to do, not free to do, but obligated to do.
That's a key point, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. This is something else that people don't understand about this peculiar energy that drives these people, folks, these ideas. It's not just that they're free to do these things. They believe that if they don't do these things, meaning if they don't kill Amalek, they don't kill the Gentiles, that they will be punished by their God for not doing so. In fact, there was another insane terrorist Jew Netanyahu's Likud government who gave an interview this week. I'm trying to find the story here, folks. Hold on just a second. Let's see, not that one. Yeah. A member of Netanyahu's Likud party accuses the Trump administration of leading Israel to the gates of hell. Now, this is important, folks. You have to learn to think the way that they do. Now, when somebody is being led to the gates of hell, that means that they're being sent to hell as punishment for some sin or sins that they have committed. What are the sins, Stas, that Donald Trump is forcing the Jews to commit?
He's forcing them to commit to a peace deal, which is against their law.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, their law says to go in and to kill everybody. down to the suckling infant. And if they don't do that, folks, they're committing a sin. I know, folks, this is crazy stuff. I mean, it's almost impossible for Gentiles to wrap their minds around. You know, we've been told now for the last quarter century since 9/11 that the group of people that have this religion that forces them to go out and to convert people by the sword, to kill people who don't agree with their religious principles, are the Muslims. Okay, but that's not the case at all, folks. Okay, jihad is not the threat that that it has been made out to be. Now, jihad, okay, it's just a change of one letter, folks. If you look on your computer keyboard, you'll see that the I and the U are right next to each other. So that's how close things are on this jihad. Jihad, where they believe that they are morally obligated to go and mass murder people, folks. This is what we're dealing with. Okay, it's not simply a small issue of some land. We're dealing with here an energy that it's either us or them, folks. That's the bottom line. It's either us or them. Stas, your thoughts on this?
Yes, this is a huge point that the Gentile world can't understand, that they talk about the devil and evilness or whatever, but this is different. The Israeli people, the people who see themselves as the true brethren of God, the children
the only,
of God.
The only, not the true, yeah. The only.
The only one, and it's a huge disconnect. So most of the people think, well, the God of Israel is my God too, and there was a new covenant, and this was changed, and they don't understand that the other group is only following the first part, the old part.
Yep.
Actually covered up in history that we've pretty much talked about before. A lot of the early Christians thought that God of the Old Testament wasn't their God.
Absolutely, yeah.
And this is now wrapped up, and people are very afraid because that's Gnosticism or something like that. But actually, Christians, and I guess some Jews who figured it out, knew that was a different thing, a tribal God of a certain area. I've noticed also that everybody who's interested in the Bible doesn't seem to want to look at any history or archaeological history.
Mm-hmm.
They're very kind of afraid to look at that, and I can understand that. But I don't know, for some reason the Orthodox Russian Church, Greek Orthodox, the Catholic Roman Church, evangelicals and denominations of all type have perhaps, and maybe we'll have to take a look at this, maybe understandably a massive fear of looking into that. I think they think they're going to fall off the cliff into atheism or something, which might be understandable, but nobody's, it looks like for a long time people have been in the discussion, why is there these continuing issues in the Middle East? Why does it have to be so hard? Are we not all children of Abraham? And it's not the case. The other group, and with the case of guys like Smoltrich, Ben Gavir, and Katz, they're not even really bothering to hide that fact.
No,
now really,
no.
They are
no.
Like, you, we're gonna kill you. We, and you know, this is when you go out and there's all these people like, wow, the bankers run everything, and that's their people. They're under them mostly, or everybody mm-hmm. knows if you get in these people's way, you've had it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all, you know. This is when you spend all night in bar rooms, coffee shops, or on the phone with your friends and start arguing about who runs the world, whatever, they'll go to these bankers. But it's not exactly the case. It's this fanaticism and that has led them to come mm-hmm. to the top of most of the world's business and
yes.
economic structure.
Yeah, banking is just one of the many weapons that they use.
Yes.
Okay, banking, media, politics, the law, academia, you know, these are all just tools in their toolbox, different tools. I mean, let's face it, there's a difference between a hammer and a screwdriver. But if you were out to kill somebody, you could use either one, okay? Even though they obviously work in completely different ways. And so it sounds to me what you're trying to describe here, Stas, is a situation where the Gentiles now find themselves unable to grasp the enormity and the particularity of the conspiracy that is being waged against them, because thousands of years ago, this decision was made to engage in this act, as I said earlier, of spiritual bestiality, where we're going to mate the teachings of the warlord Moses with the teachings of Jesus Christ. And now it has produced this unnatural creature known as Judeo-Christianity. And people, just because it's been here for so long, they're unable to go through the intellectual process necessary in determining that this creature here is a dangerous creature. It's not normal. It's not natural. There's nothing good that can come from the unnatural breeding of these two ideologies. Again, in fact, we can see the disaster that's been produced by it, because when we look at all, especially in the Middle East, we look at all of the trouble that exists, it's because of the Christian nations and the Christian money and the Christian military power and political power that's in the control in the hands of the Jews.
Oh, 100%. And, this is a disconnect that is hard to fathom, but incredibly, sometimes events in history move on, like the shooting of this Charlie Kirk guy,
mm-hmm.
has woken up a number of the right, that basically the core of the hammer of the Gentile Empire of America,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much the finest warriors,
in history,
are these, Christian guys, in America right now. You see these pilots or something, they'll say, "Oh, I'm Buddy Wallace or something." You know, these Christian guys, I think they do have a certain light, a green lighted from their interpretation of the Bible that makes them really gutsy.
Mm-hmm.
They followed up these wasps, whatever. And, you know, I'm getting way out of hand here, but, you know, the development of the airplane and these certain things, I think it was imbued with a certain obsession, biblical, in this country,
mm-hmm.
That has driven people that I'm going to be in trouble with the Lord if I don't prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And it weirdly made America and Great Britain before it very adept at war in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say what I'm saying, whether or not it derived from that. In any case, that's what it's come to be. And they got very worried about these warrior class being moved away from them as pawns,
mm-hmm.
for their goals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they panicked and eliminated Charlie Kirk, apparently.
Yep.
And
yeah,
ironically, it's given Trump some breathing room.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, we haven't seen any substantive news reports indicating that Trump used the Charlie Kirk thing to squeeze Netanyahu. But, you know, I know for myself, folks, that I would, okay, if I were the president, and if there was all of this talk out there that Israel and Netanyahu personally has something to do with Charlie Kirk's murder, and if I needed to box Netanyahu in order to pull the plug on Armageddon, yeah, I would do it. I would do it for sure. So yeah, I think that you're absolutely right about that, Stas. And
I don't know if I went too far up front with that.
You spawned another idea.
Yeah.
You spawned another idea. You know, if you were a Christian living in first century Judea under the Roman occupation, you know, you would probably view the Romans as a hostile foreign force. Okay. But you look at the manner in which the Romans were used by, you know, the higher powers of the universe to do good things, even though they were a pagan empire. But nevertheless, it was the Romans who wound up giving us the 2,000-year breather that we have had. If the Romans hadn't come in and did what they did in destroying the temple and scattering the Jews, folks, we can just imagine what a mess the world, what it would be like today. None of us would be here. We wouldn't be having a conversation like this. We would, life as we know it today, even with all of its problems, would simply not exist. And likewise, folks, I do believe that this is where the United States and Donald Trump fit into this. Okay, we are seeing a replay of those events that took place 2,000 years ago when the Romans were used as the instrument of destiny in bringing an end to this. And this is what is happening now. But the difference, of course, is the fact that back then the Jews didn't have nuclear and biological weapons as they do now. So I guess what I'm saying here, folks, is that, you know, it is coming to a head. Vice President Vance is in Israel right now to have a difficult conversation with Netanyahu. He's going there, in my opinion, folks, to tell Netanyahu things that can't be said over a telecommunications line. And these things are coming directly from the president, okay? He's going to tell him things that are meant to bring him into line. But again, folks, as we have said many times, Netanyahu and these people cannot be contained, okay? They would rather burn the world down, and I mean literally down to stubble, as they have said, rather than have this opportunity that they have invested 3,000 years of planning and resources and everything else to see it just wind up being a repeat of what happened in 70 AD. Okay. The long and short of it, folks, is that we have got very dark and difficult days ahead of us. Okay. The Jews are not just going to sit back and allow some insolent Gentile king to tell them what they can and cannot do with regards to their redemption. Stas, your thoughts?
Yes, this what people have to understand to the Israeli people. I know there's so many words. The chosen people. that this is all an insult just to be dealing with this Gentile king.
Absolutely, yes. To even have to speak to him
is against the law.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, including people who make a lot of money and they're very famous and they have millions of followers on YouTube, I believe they are lumped into some people that we often poke fun of, the Rents people, the Alex Jones people, in that one way or another, they kind of believe that this massive collective entity of, I don't know what you want to call them, white guys, skull and bones, waspy guys that are in with the Jewish people, that are in with this one, that one, the wealthy people, and that Donald Trump is in with them, and it's all a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really not, and people say, well, how do you know the world works? One thing I know is still people compete for power, the Democratic Party versus the Republican Party. I've probably said this deal a million times. And yes, officials from Israel, Russia, China, but they're constantly jockeying for their best position.
Sure.
But with the Israelis, it's a little different than just taking, if I could be crude here, all the women and the money.
Mm-hmm.
The usual power things.
Mm-hmm.
It's different than that. The Islamic people are constantly every day barraged with this idea that they're some kind of extremist, that each and one of them is going to strap a backpack to themselves every second.
Mm-hmm.
And they never, ever look at the other side of the coin, that there's another group that are much more into that they've got to win. And anybody who's thinking it's a joke, or that they really just do it to get power, only power, is wrong. They really believe, I guess let me use this as an analogy. They're going to go to hell if they don't win.
If they don't kill us. Yeah, they're going to. Exactly.
They got to win.
Yeah.
They got to win.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas
normally they don't.
I'm going to go to hell if I'm not a nice person. They're going to go to hell if they don't kick our ass. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. No, this is an extremely important point that people need to understand about the fanaticism that drives these people. It's a completely different way of dealing with life, with existence, with everything, folks. All right. They, you know, as the Jews themselves are fond of telling the rest of us Gentiles on a regular basis, they say, you know, we're not like you. Okay. And you're not like us. Your morals are not our morals. Your goals are not our goals. Your God is not our God. Well, they're right, folks. This is one of those instances where the Jews are telling the truth. Okay. And as Stas just pointed out here, very importantly, we have to understand, just as that horrible Jew said at the beginning of the program, you know, that what makes us so dangerous is that we destroy things that we don't believe are true. And that is exactly what we're dealing with, folks. We're dealing with a group of people who do not see reality in through the same eyes and through the same lenses that we do. And to them, rather than to just live and let live and allow the world as it exists to continue going on, their mindset is, if the world cannot be turned around in the manner in which we envision it to be turned around, then we're just going to smash it to pieces. We're going to destroy it, just as the Jews said at the beginning of the program. Stas, the trip that the vice president is making to Israel to meet with Netanyahu, what do you imagine, what kinds of conversations will they be having that obviously Trump, the president, did not want to have over the phone?
Ha, because they're being bugged or whatever. You know, to other people who watch evangelical TV, they'd be shocked at the language that Vance is using with Netanyahu.
Sure, sure,
he's
absolutely
using bad language and go, we're gonna blast you.
Yes,
F word. If you go in there and you keep embarrassing Donald Trump, the president, with
exactly,
murdering, you're gonna stop your murdering because he put the line in the and he's gonna say, I'm warning you, soon we'll end it.
Yeah,
you know, because, you know, it is a replay of the Roman Judea wars. I mean, mm-hmm. they're awfully powerful, and their military is probably better than us, but it's smaller. So if we mm-hmm. go, when we go, it's small. It's, but what is Israel about as big as Rhode Island or something?
Yeah.
It's not for the firepower to have these days. The whole thing will be lit up once, because we're partially protecting them now. We pull that away, and that'll happen.
But what just happened this past weekend that is a harbinger of possible problems in that regard? And folks, don't make any mistake about it. What happened this past weekend? Netanyahu was up to it, up to his giant inbred elephant ears. Okay, you don't put millions of people out in the streets of America protesting against Donald Trump without the Jews being involved in it. Stas, what about these No Kings protests that took place? You know, I mean, look, the president makes his threats, he makes his moves, but then Netanyahu makes his.
Oh yeah, the everybody in the country thinks the No More Kings things is about persons of color and Mexicans and immigration and misogyny and trans things and whatever. It's not. It's firing back against the president. They wouldn't even bother with it. They've got in the long term, they've got America culturally down. Yeah, everybody's turning to madness. So
yep.
In the short term, it's got to be about the Trump's plan for Abrahamic Accords, Trump's plan to save these people, of which everybody's like, oh my gosh, that's colonialism. He wants to put a casino there. It's about survival. You know, these people don't understand. I'm going to go out a limit here. You know, everybody, we put America down. We see how everybody's fat. But still at this present time, it's very,
we're still
very
number
powerful.
One. Yeah, we're still number one.
We could wipe out the China and Russia right now. You know, mm-hmm. I know they're getting very powerful.
But not Iran.
Not Iran. They got the hypersonics and they have the support of.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. And folks, I'm not saying that in any way to be derogatory towards the Iranians. I love the Iranians. But what we're doing here, folks, is poking fun at these people, these analysts out there who say that, you know, that the United States is all washed up. We couldn't fight a war if we had to. The Iranians would just wipe up the floor with us, and it just simply isn't true, folks. It isn't true. The United States.
You've seen the Israelis use American know-how very wisely, and they really, you know, they said it stopped because they're getting the hypersonic missiles. No, they almost totally decapitated. They clearly want the sheeple, the goy, the cattle, the dum-dums. To do the bulk of the thing. When they want to finish them off, they want U.S. boys to occupy and murder for them. They don't want to do that other part where there's still heavy lifting. After they finish them off, that's what I think. They want to send our boys in, you know, to do the further wrecking like they did to Iraq. They want to make Iran like Iraq. It's clear. Or worse, I think they're even madder at them, perhaps, because they've held out. They dared to last a little long.
Well, not only that, Stas, but don't forget, every year for the last 2,500 years, the Jews have gotten together on one day out of the year, Purim. They get falling down drunk and dress up in silly costumes and celebrate how their ancestors supposedly mass murdered 75,000 Iranians. Okay, so the war against Iran is not just simply because the Iranians have been harder on Israel than other countries. This thing goes back thousands of years, folks. Thousands of years. Okay, so what are we likely to say? I'm not going to hold you to making predictions, Stas, but we know that Benjamin Netanyahu and the rest of these terrorist Jews are not just going to sit back and allow Vice President Vance, speaking for the president, to stick his finger in Netanyahu's face and toss a few F-bombs into the conversation. Netanyahu's not going to sit back and just allow that to happen. What are some of the things that we might be seeing here in the near future as Netanyahu decides to make a play of his own?
As usual, I go into massive sweeps for an answer. So simultaneously going on, Rubio and Lavrov had a conversation, and the Trump-Putin-Hungary meeting is off.
Yeah, yes.
So
very
this
troubling.
Is going at the same time as Vance is over there. So these are like two things going. So that to me might be saying the Russian intelligence is like, we got word.
Yep. They're going to blow your sky. Yeah, they're going to blow your airplane out of the air. Yeah.
So I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So you're talking about the two things are interconnected. As far as I know, we're the only people who talk about how Ukraine and Gaza are.
Yeah, but we're crazy.
It's because it's two situations that are vitally important for. Doing the rules of Moses in the Middle East.
Yeah.
I like to always say that, you know, to my mind, it's like a war manual, you know, to win. And Russia is in the way of that. So they're a key.
Absolutely.
Point. And the resistance of the Palestinian people is in the way. All these things are in the way of the dream. Mm-hmm. Not just a dream, the law. So we as Gentiles, I guess primarily, we in the Gentile where we say, well, you got to be a good person so you can go to heaven and, you know, nice person, watch out for the devil and stuff. And these people, they think that they're going to go to hell if they don't win and kill and dominate. And taking any kind of talk back from the czar and the and the king of America or whatever they Rome or whatever they think we are, and Persia is all evil to them.
Yes.
That's evil. So if you that's what I assume. So if you talk to a guy like Ben-Gvir or Smotrich, he's like, no, we're, you know, they'll look at you right in the face and no, we're doing evil. We're not killing you and dominating because Yahweh's, you know, angry right now.
You know?
We're in desperate need to destroy these people because that's the law and that's what Moses, the giver of the law, gave us.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, you know, we got to win at this, and it's gotten so
but
bad.
Stas. Isn't it true that the Jews don't follow the Torah anymore, that they follow the Talmud?
Isn't it true? That is the most exasperating. These guys who have a lot of great points, Michael Hoffman, Michael Jones, they're like, they're not following the Torah. They're following the Talmud. They're following Kabbalah. It's like, no, they don't go into battle with a Kabbalah. They have a Torah scroll. It says in there, like you probably put up, I bet you put up 10,000 times, Deuteronomy 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That's the rules. I mean, I think that they don't do themselves any favors by overcomplicating it. I even suspect sometimes that Donald Trump, as a businessman, they may have only told him a little bit, sir, this is what their rules are. And he goes, boom, yeah, I understand now.
Yeah,
they're supposed to kill us. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and they're wandering into these things. No, they're doing that. And worse, I've seen a lot of books that say Jesus has backed up the law.
Yes, right, yes.
So they're taking away our Savior.
Yes.
And saying our Savior wants to kill us. That means, you say, oh, I made a mistake. You should do Deuteronomy 6. Then what's the sense? Then Jesus is a Moses, and we should destroy Russia and Iran.
Yeah.
You know? And I think, unfortunately, a lot of people think that.
No, they do. They even if they don't think that, they have twisted the facts into this pretzel knot to the point where nothing computes, nothing makes sense. Okay, and you know, I appreciate the work of Michael Hoffman and of E. Michael Jones. I mean, there's nobody out there that has done the work in uncovering the evils of the Talmud than Michael Hoffman has. But to say that the Talmud has replaced the Torah is just simply not true, folks. All you have to do is go to any Israeli website, especially one that deals with the Jewish religion on a daily basis, and see for yourself what they have to say about the Torah and the Talmud. In fact, there's a story that we just ran this week, folks, about on this very issue, about how this comes off of the Jewish News Syndicate website, where hundreds of Jews, many IDF soldiers, they went down to the where the Supernova Music Festival was with their Torah scrolls, and they were dancing around and singing their silly songs and all of the rest of that stuff. They didn't bring down copies of the Talmud, folks. They didn't bring down copies of the Kabbalah or the Zohar or anything else. They brought down the Torah, and they were dancing around with it. This is their holiday, their yearly holiday, known as Simchat, I don't know how they pronounce it, Torah, where they begin the yearly cycle anew of reading. They start with the book of Genesis, and every week there's a reading from the Torah until they finish the year, and then they start over again. So, and this is not a trivial matter, folks. It's not a trivial point, okay? We have to understand how this particular enemy, how his brain works, how he thinks, how he sees the world, if we stand any chance whatsoever of defending ourselves from him. And these people, as well-intentioned as they are, who are pushing this this Talmud business over the Torah. And the Talmud is a horrible book, folks, just so that I'm on the record saying it. Anything that describes Jesus Christ as a sorcerer and as a sex pervert and describes his mother as a prostitute, okay, it's a horrible book. So we're not downplaying the evil of the Talmud, but what we're saying here is that it is the difference between the Talmud and the Torah is like the difference between the mafia and the mob. Okay, it's just a few letters that have been rearranged, but it basically describes the same thing. Stas, what were you saying before I rudely interrupted you?
I can't recall, but I want before I forget, I want to bring this point that I got from you. So now add to this even worse that the situation would have that somebody has a military plan that's 3,000 years old. I don't know how many. America is very young compared to that. What is that, like six America's history, seven?
Yep.
I don't know. Very young compared to Rome and Judea and Greece and things.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very young and inexperienced in this spiritual military plan is the fact that you pointed out to me that some of our brothers who are Gentiles, who are evangelical Christian, there's already a blueprint known as Revelation, which I believe most people that I talk to have their focus and energy and devotion to 100% more than turn the other cheek. And
absolutely. Yep.
That's the revelation that actually there'll be some type of leader that's going to bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and he's been hit in the ear and strange things that person is the Antichrist.
Right.
Which is very troubling. So, I don't think that Jesus Christ, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think in his wisdom, he looked at the weapons and he knew in the future that they were going to have horrible weapons. You know, he's looking at whatever, the Roman catapult, and he knew there'd be flying machines and nuclear hellfire of some type, that he wanted that to happen. This is a big thing. Everybody should be for peace 100%. And they're not, because some people think that this is what it's bad, or it's this period of peace or anything that threatens Israel is the Antichrist. I've seen guys now going on everything in their mind is if there's something against Israel, that's what the worst problem is.
Yes.
As far as I know, Jesus didn't say everybody, oh, I must have all my disciples, whatever we do, defend Israel.
Right.
And murder anybody who goes against Israel.
Absolutely. Yeah. I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine Jesus? Can you imagine him having a conversation with his 12 disciples and say, now listen here, when we have to go out and deal with these Jews, we have to be very, very careful about what we say, because, you know, as it says in the book of Genesis, I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. So we can't say anything bad about them. I don't know how we're going to expose the evil without pointing out the fact that these people are bad and doing bad things. Yeah, folks, he didn't do that. You didn't see him one time talking about, you know, quoting Genesis 12:3, I think it is. I will bless those who bless thee and curse those who curse thee. In fact, folks, the reason why at the end of this entire thing he wound up being nailed to a cross is because he spent 3 years of his life cursing them. Stas, we're just about at the end of this wonderful program. What would you like to tell the fellow Gentiles out there seeking liberation that they need to hear before we close out?
Look into your heart, into your mind, and be sensible. Was it Christ who said, be wise as serpents?
Yes, be as wise as serpents, yes. Understand your enemy. Be as wise as serpents, yes. But be Gentiles, folks, because that's what you are. You are Gentiles, and you have an enemy out there that seeks your utter destruction. And those aren't my words, folks. Those are the words coming right out of that horrible book, particularly the book of Isaiah, that says, the nation that will not bow down before you shall perish. It shall be utterly destroyed. Stas, once again, thank you for your invaluable contribution to this very important conversation. You are a true friend of humanity and just a great American.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay. Hang on there for just a second. I am going to close out the program. I want to talk to you off the air.
Thanks.
Okay, folks. So once again, we want to thank our good friend Stas. He is a credit to the Gentile people, and obviously, like I said, a great American. And folks, take these things to heart that we're telling you, because unfortunately, and I've heard this from at least a half a dozen different people this week, folks. Unfortunately, folks, you won't hear this kind of conversation in too many other places. Unfortunately. Okay, I'm not saying this in an arrogant fashion. I really wish this conversation were taking place in more locales, because we might actually finally begin to make some progress in this war of our survival. So, but take these things to heart. And, you know, if we're wrong, folks, then point out where we're wrong. Use facts, though. Don't get emotional about it. But I don't think so. I don't claim to know everything, folks, but the things that I do claim to know, I'm pretty sure I'm right about them. Anyway, folks, that's it for today on this Tuesday edition, October 21st, 2025, the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Gentiles. Until we meet again, folks, go out and do what you can to wage war against this beast that seeks our destruction. Pray for a miracle, folks, and as always, keep the faith.